All right, so picture this. You're cruising home after a long night at the library, just grinding away at those case briefs.
Yeah, law school life.
Exactly. Suddenly, you see those flashing lights in your rearview mirror. You're getting pulled over. And the officer says it's for a busted brake light. But here's the catch. Your car actually has the number of working brake lights required by law.
Oh, that's a tricky one.
So the big question is, can the evidence the officer might find during that stop, even though it started with a misunderstanding of the law, actually be used against you in court?
That is a really interesting question, and it takes us straight to a landmark Supreme Court case.
Hit me with it.
Hyen v. North Carolina from 2014.
Hyen v. North Carolina. Okay, I'm all ears. So for our listeners who are really trying to understand the ins and outs of the Fourth Amendment, what's the core issue that this case brought to the forefront?
Basically, the Supreme Court had to decide whether a police officer's mistake about the law itself, not just about the facts of a situation, can be a valid reason for a traffic stop. And if it is considered valid, does that mean any evidence found during the stop is admissible in court?
Which really makes you think about what reasonable actually means when we're talking about the Fourth Amendment, right?
Absolutely. And the Hyen case itself, the story behind it, it's like a textbook example of this whole legal dilemma.
Okay, walk me through it. What happened?
So it starts with a police officer, Sergeant DeReese, in North Carolina. He pulls over a car that's being driven by a guy named Maynard Vasquez. Nicholas Hyen was the owner. And the reason the officer gives for the stop, one of the brake lights isn't working.
Seems straightforward enough,
You
right?
would think so.
Yeah.
But here's where it gets interesting, especially for anyone studying law. At the time, the law in North Carolina only required one working brake light. And guess what? This car had one. So right off the bat, it looks like the stop was based on the officer just not knowing the actual law.
Whoa. So it seems like the stop shouldn't have happened at all, but what happened next?
Well, during the stop, the officer observes the driver and passenger acting, I guess you could say, a little suspicious.
Uh-oh. Like what?
They seemed nervous, their stories weren't matching up, that kind of thing. Based on this, the officer asks for permission to search the car, and surprisingly, they agree.
And I'm guessing this is where the cocaine enters the picture.
You got it.
Yeah.
They found cocaine in a duffel bag. And Hyen, the owner of the car, is slapped with a pretty serious charge: attempted trafficking.
So we've got this situation where the initial stop seems completely illegal if you look at the actual law, but it ends up leading to the discovery of illegal drugs. That's a tough one. How did this all play out in the courts?
Right. That's exactly the legal tangle they had to figure out. So when the case goes to trial, Hyen's lawyers try to get the evidence thrown out. They argued, hey, the stop itself was unlawful, so anything found during the search can't be used against him.
Makes sense. What did the court say?
The trial court initially actually sided with the officer and said, nope, the evidence stays in. They said the officer had a reasonable suspicion for the stop based on what he thought was a broken brake light.
So it's all about whether the officer's actions were reasonable, even if based on a mistake.
Precisely. But the story doesn't end there. The case then went up on appeal to the North Carolina Court of Appeals, and they actually reversed the trial court's decision.
They did. So they agreed that the stop was illegal.
Yes, they found that the stop was unconstitutional because it was based on a mistake about the law itself. And they said, look, police officers are supposed to know the law. An error like this just shouldn't be enough to justify stopping someone.
Interesting. So it sounds like they were trying to draw a line. Mistakes about facts, maybe, but not about the law itself.
Right, exactly. But then hold on, because it goes up to the North Carolina Supreme Court and they overturn the Court of Appeals and reinstate Hyen's conviction.
What? Seriously, they went back to saying the stop was okay.
They did. They argued that even though the officer was wrong about the law, his mistake was still reasonable under the circumstances. They thought the law might have been a little unclear or ambiguous, so the officer's interpretation wasn't totally out there.
Man, that is so back and forth. So you've got this split in the state courts. One side says the stop was illegal, the other says it's fine. No wonder this thing ended up in the Supreme Court's lap.
It's like the perfect recipe for Supreme Court review, right?
Yeah.
They had to step in and settle this big question about the Fourth Amendment.
All right, so lay it on me. What was the big central legal issue that the Supreme Court was grappling with in this case?
It all boils down to this: can a police officer's reasonable mistake of law, meaning they get the law wrong, be enough to create the reasonable suspicion that the Fourth Amendment requires for a traffic stop to be legal?
Which takes us back to that whole debate about what reasonable actually means in this context.
Yeah. And to be clear, we're not talking about mistakes of fact.
Yeah.
Like an officer thinking your taillight is out when it's actually working. Courts had already addressed those types of errors in other Fourth Amendment cases.
So what made Hyen so unique?
Hyen was all about mistakes of law. The officer misunderstood what the law actually required. That was the new big question.
I see. So what did the Supreme Court ultimately decide?
In an 8-1 decision, with Chief Justice Roberts writing the majority opinion, the court sided with the North Carolina Supreme Court. They said, look, the Fourth Amendment is about reasonableness, not demanding absolute perfection from officers.
Okay, so they're cutting the officers some slack, but how did they justify that? Why did they think a mistake about the law could still be reasonable?
Well, they made a point that laws, especially when we get into the details of statutes, can sometimes be a little ambiguous or unclear in how they're written. And they used the specific North Carolina law about brake lights as an example.
What was unclear about it? I thought we established that the law only required one working brake light.
Right. But the majority argued that the way the law was worded, talking about a stop lamp, could reasonably lead someone to think that two working brake lights were needed. So because the law itself had this wiggle room for interpretation, the officer's mistake wasn't seen as completely unreasonable.
So they're saying that if the law isn't perfectly clear, an officer's misunderstanding might be excusable. Interesting.
Exactly. They drew a comparison to those reasonable mistakes, in fact, we talked about earlier, where the officer might get a decal wrong, but it was still a reasonable assumption based on the circumstances. They applied that same logic to mistakes about the law.
Okay, that makes sense. But they did emphasize that the mistake has to be objectively reasonable. Yeah.
Yes, that's a crucial part of the ruling. They weren't giving officers a free pass to ignore the law altogether.
So what does objectively reasonable actually mean for a police officer out on patrol?
It means that it can't be just a personal misunderstanding of the law. The officer's mistake has to be based on a reasonable interpretation of a law that is genuinely open to more than one understanding. And the focus is on what a reasonable officer would do, not what this particular officer happened to believe.
So it's not about the officer's individual knowledge or intent. It's about whether any reasonable officer could have made the same mistake given the way the law is written.
Precisely. Now, of course, not everyone on the court agreed with this decision.
Oh, right. There were concurring and dissenting opinions, too. What were their main points?
You bet. Justice Kagan, joined by Justice Ginsburg, wrote a concurring opinion. They agreed with the outcome in this specific case, but they wanted to emphasize a really important limit on this whole mistake of law idea.
What kind of limit?
Kagan was worried about this ruling being used too broadly to excuse any old mistake about the law. So she stressed that it should only apply where the law itself is genuinely ambiguous, so unclear that even a judge could reasonably agree with the officer's interpretation.
I see. It's like they were trying to prevent officers from just claiming ignorance of well-established laws as a way to justify a questionable stop. What about the dissent? Didn't Justice Sotomayor have some pretty strong words about this decision?
She did. Justice Sotomayor wrote a powerful dissent, and she raised some serious concerns that are worth considering. Her biggest worry was that this decision weakens the Fourth Amendment's protection against unreasonable searches and seizures.
How so?
She argued that if officers can justify stops based on their own misinterpretations of the law, it could lead to less emphasis on making sure they really know and understand the laws they're enforcing. If they know they might get a pass for a reasonable mistake, why put in the extra effort to get it right?
That's a valid point. And I think she also brought up the issue of how this could affect different communities unequally, didn't she?
Absolutely. Justice Sotomayor was very concerned that these reasonable mistakes might be more likely to happen and more likely to be excused when it comes to certain groups of people, especially those from marginalized communities. It raises big questions about fairness and equal treatment under the law. It's not just an academic debate. It has real consequences in the real world.
This is heavy stuff. So let's take a step back and think about the bigger picture. Why does the Hyen decision matter, especially for those of us who are still learning about the law? What are the key takeaways for our listeners?
Well, for one, this ruling gives law enforcement more leeway in situations where a law might have some room for interpretation. It reinforces the idea that reasonableness in the Fourth Amendment isn't always black and white. And it reminds us that the focus is on what a hypothetical, reasonable officer would do, not what the individual officer in the case knew or intended.
Right. It's that objective standard we keep coming back to. And this whole idea of an officer's subjective intent, it connects to other important cases, too. Didn't Wing v. U.S. also deal with that?
You're exactly right. Wynn looked at pretextual stops, where an officer might use a minor traffic violation as a reason to pull someone over when their real goal is something else entirely. And the court in Wynn said, look, even if the officer had another motive, as long as there was a legitimate legal basis for the stop, like a broken taillight, the stop is still valid. It doesn't matter what the officer was subjectively thinking.
Okay, so Hine kind of builds on that idea, but it extends it to mistakes about the law itself, not just the facts.
Precisely. Now, Hine also raises some big questions that are worth pondering, like how clear does a law have to be to avoid being considered ambiguous under this new standard? Who gets to decide when a law crosses that line?
Right. It makes you think about the responsibility of lawmakers to write laws that are clear and easy for everyone to understand, both law enforcement and the everyday citizen.
And it also raises practical questions. Like, if you pulled over because of what seems like an officer's misunderstanding of the law, how do you challenge that in court? Hine seems to make it a bit harder. You now have to prove that the officer's mistake wasn't objectively reasonable, which could be a tough standard to meet.
Now, I remember Justice Kagan's concurrence briefly mentioned the concept of qualified immunity. Can you explain what that is and why it's relevant here? I think some of our listeners might not be familiar with that yet.
Good point. Qualified immunity protects government officials, including police officers, from being sued for actions they take in their official capacity, unless they violated clearly established statutory or constitutional rights. And when courts look at qualified immunity, they often ask whether the law was clearly established at the time of the incident.
So how does that relate to Hine?
Kagan was basically saying that just because an officer's mistake about the law might be reasonable enough to justify a stop under Hine, it doesn't automatically mean they'd be off the hook in a civil lawsuit. The legal test for qualified immunity is different.
So even if the stop itself is deemed lawful, the officer might still face consequences if their actions violated someone's clearly established rights.
Exactly. It's a separate legal issue with different standards.
It's a good reminder that Fourth Amendment law is complex and there are lots of nuances to consider. So as we wrap up, what's the one big takeaway from Hine v. North Carolina that everyone should remember?
The bottom line is this. The Supreme Court has said that a police officer's objectively reasonable mistake of law can be enough to justify a traffic stop, especially when the law itself is open to different interpretations.
Which leaves us with a lot to think about. It really highlights the ongoing balancing act between giving law enforcement the authority to do their jobs and protecting individual rights.
Yeah, it definitely does.
So here's a final thought for our listeners to chew on. Given this decision, how should police departments approach training their officers on laws that might be complex or not perfectly clear? And what role do lawyers and legal professionals play in making sure laws are written in a way that's understandable and accessible to everyone?
Now, those are questions worth considering.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me. It's been a great discussion.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Until next time, folks, keep those legal minds sharp.